Here's Eric listening in Chicago. Hi, Eric. What's up?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say I really encourage people to give to Issues, et cetera, as it's the flagship of confessional liturgical Lutheranism in the world, I'd say, on the media.
Issues, etc. is listener-supported, and you can support the flagship of confessional liturgical Lutheranism in the media by making a secure online donation at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your support.
God is so good, man. He brought me a mighty long way, and just it's unbelievable. It's kind of surreal, to be honest with you. I'm just sitting there holding that trophy up, and I'm looking up, and I'm just so thankful.
We refuse to terminate our children because of the lack of societal supports. Women deserve better than abortion.
There's nothing too trivial for God. He doesn't filter out our prayers and hear the important ones first and the not that important ones later. He listens to everything that we say, and this is a completely undeserved gift.
What holds a marriage together for 50 years is not the fact that a man and woman love each other. What holds a marriage together for 50 years is that by the grace of God, a man and a woman went on forgiving each other.
Hello. I want to say that foreigners with English as a second language also love Issues, etc.
Of course, the apostles don't do it by themselves. Be it Peter or Paul, they have companions. Sometimes they're even referred to as co-workers or fellow workers with the apostles. Some of these companions are even kind of given maybe apostolic status that seems to kind of rub off on them. Some of them are couriers. Some of them are friends. Some of them are fellow travelers. Some of them actually, along with the apostle, pen the epistles that we find in the New Testament. Silas is remembered by the church, a fellow worker of not one but two apostles, Peter and Paul. He's remembered by the church on February 10th, and we'll be remembering him here in the first few minutes of Issues, Etc. with Dr. Curtis Giese. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. We are coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. After our conversation remembering Silas, fellow worker of Peter and Paul, Pastor Michael Schuerman will join us. Another update on Thrivent Financial for Lutherans' refusal to restore funding to pro-life organizations. They've taken a so-called neutral position, and it really isn't neutral, but at least they think it is. We'll see kind of money that we're talking about that has been really taken out of the coffers of pro-life organizations by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Then we'll play Issues, Etc. soundbite of the week. We'll play our four sound bites, and then you'll listen, and then you'll vote. And then we'll also give away the LPR bundle package to the listener with the best vote for Issues, Etc. soundbite of the week. Dr. Curtis Giese is a regular guest. He's professor of theology at Concordia University, Texas. Dr. Giese, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Oh, thank you so much. An honor to be with you.
We often hear about these people who attended with Paul at various times during his missionary journeys, Silas among them. What were these missionary journeys like? What would it have been like to travel and to be alongside St. Paul during one of these journeys?
There never would have been a boring day whatsoever, most likely never a day the same. They went to many various cities, various cultures, and they encountered a variety of different people and circumstances. It's very much the case we can give thanks for the earthly gifts of Silas and also Paul, of course, to present this heavenly message, because they had to change from going to the synagogues in various cities and speaking to those of Jewish Israelite background and speaking in other contexts to those of more so Greco-Roman, secular Gentile background, and they had to be very much on their feet to use their God-given gifts in these various circumstances. Silas was especially one who is gifted with oratory skill to speak to both to a Jewish as well as to a Gentile background. So he very much had to use his God-given gifts of oratory skill to speak in such settings. And very much also travel was an issue. They traveled an incredible distance during the second missionary journey on which Silas accompanied Paul. So that's an issue also. Oh, they befriended many people, so many times of wonderful Christian fellowship, for example, with Lydia, a wonderful woman in Philippi whom they came to know and received her hospitality. They also had to deal with imprisonment in Philippi. After a bit of difficulty that Paul and Silas encounter, they were thrown into prison after being beaten. So just a wide variety of circumstances, and the Lord is with them during this time to keep them safe and to spread the good news of our Lord.
Where do we first encounter Silas in the New Testament?
It's actually in Acts chapter 15. Now, this is after the first missionary journey of Paul and Barnabas. They had visited areas, particularly in present-day Turkey. Now, some Judaizers, that is, some Jewish Christians who were overly emphasizing Jewish rituals, they went back to those places and were saying that Paul did not speak the full message that they need to take to themselves, that they need to follow Jewish rituals, especially circumcision, in order to be Christian, in order to be saved. And, of course, that's an improper mixing of law and gospel. So we come to the situation of the Jerusalem Council that speaks to that. And the Jerusalem Council, especially led by James and Peter, decided to write a letter to Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia, to these affected areas, and to send Judas, called Barsabbas, and Silas. These were leaders from the Jerusalem congregation, and to send them this letter, and also Paul and Barnabas, to go back to these congregations. Actually, this went primarily first to Antioch, and to deliver this letter that said, indeed, what is important is the message of Christ, and beyond that, having been received into his kingdom by grace, it's appropriate to abstain from some of the offensive things in the surroundings, things offensive to those of Jewish background and also Gentile background. And they went to Antioch with this letter, and the people heard this message, and they were encouraged by Judas, Silas, Paul, and Barnabas as they spent time there to speak the message of Christ and the freedom of that gift in Christ, and it was received with much joy.
Now, you mentioned just a moment ago probably the most famous Paul and Silas story, and that has to do with their beating and their imprisonment. Tell us that story.
Yeah, that was actually in Philippi. And there was mentioned they came to meet Lydia, and they received her hospitality. And they were speaking the message of Christ in Philippi. And there was a female slave who had a spirit by which she could predict the future. And she earned a great deal of money for those who owned her as a slave. And the servant girl kept on saying, "These men are servants of the Most High God." And she kept this up for many days, and this became so annoying to Paul that he drove the spirit out. And these slave owners then started saying negative things against Paul and Silas, that these men are throwing our city into uproar, and that caused the officials to arrest and beat Paul and Silas. And they were thrown into prison that night. Then, suddenly, there's a violent earthquake, and the foundations of the prison doors shook, and then suddenly all the doors opened, and the jailer was concerned that everybody would be running away, and he'd be held responsible. But Paul said, "Do not worry, we're all here." So Paul and Silas were together in that situation. They were beaten together, and then in prison, and in this great prison situation, and the jailer was brought to Christ and his family as well, and he took care of Paul and Silas. But then toward the end there, Paul and Silas indicated, and this is important about Silas, that Silas was also a Roman citizen, just like Paul. And so they spoke up about this situation, and some of the local officials were concerned about this, and they kindly escorted Paul and Silas, asked him to leave the city. And they went to Lydia's house and then went on from there to Thessalonica.
There is continued mention of him here and there. He gets mentioned also in several of Paul's epistles, and actually in Peter's epistle as well. Do we know anything more about his connection to St. Peter than that apparently Peter sent his first letter, by the hand of Silas, in that case called Silvanus?
Right. Now, as mentioned, both Judas and Silas were leading members of the Jerusalem church, emissaries, and actually they're also called prophets, and it might also be the case that they're referred to as apostles. Now, coming from the Jerusalem congregation, they likely would have known Peter. Silas, especially speaking here, he would have known Peter most likely, so they probably had some sort of working relationship. And when Peter was inspired by God to write his first epistle, He did it apparently with the help of Silas. Now, it's debated what sort of influence, what sort of effect that had on the writing of the letter. Obviously, Peter gets the credit. He was inspired by God to do so, but with the help of Silas as well. There is a difference between 1 Peter and 2 Peter in the way that the language is used. 1 Peter is a more polished, more flowing, more artistic and polished presentation of the Greek language. In contrast, 2 Peter is a bit more cumbersome in its use of Greek. So it's often said that part of that difference was what Silas had, what he brought to bear in that. He's known to have great oratory skill and here apparently literary skill as well. And it seems that he assisted Peter in the composition of this letter. And also, for the letters of 1 and 2 Thessalonians, it comes from Paul, Timothy, and Silas.
So we can, I think we talked about Timothy some weeks back with another guest, and the guest suggested that when Timothy's name appears alongside Paul's at the beginning of a letter, that is a pretty strong indication that the letter is to be regarded as from both Paul and Timothy, that they both had a hand in its authorship. So that would that include also Silas here in the case of 1 and 2 Thessalonians?
That's certainly reasonable. If it's coming from them, it's indicative that all three had some hand in the writing of that letter, indeed.
I'm wondering, should we picture it this way, Dr. Giese, that obviously under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, both these men, Peter dictates, Silas is Peter's secretary, and what we're reading there is really the pen of Silas in St. Peter's first letter.
Definitely. Both would be inspired by the Holy Spirit in their work. It's a debate in the ancient Greco-Roman world, the role that a secretary would have in the writing of the letters. Some were known simply to copy and have no role. Others, it was known that they had a primary role in the writing. And some, most were likely somewhere in between. That's probably the case here with Silas as well, since there is an obvious difference between 1 and 2 Peter. Yet there are many, many commonalities as well in the way that they're written. So Silas, with his known oratory skill, and here also apparently literary skill, the grace and the excellent presentation in that letter likely has a great deal to do with his hand in this as well, and likely also some content as well. So we give thanks to God for the earthly gifts that he was given to present a heavenly message as he was inspired along with Paul.
Another Silas and Timothy connection is that, at least for a brief time, they are left by Paul in Berea. Is that correct?
That is correct. There were some issues that came up along the way. There were very frequently from Jewish sources. It was in Berea, just they had come from Thessalonica. And when they land in Berea, some of the Jews from Thessalonica learned that Paul was preaching there, and they started agitating the crowd and stirring up the crowd against Paul, Silas, and Timothy. Now, for fear especially of Paul's life, they sent him onward to Athens. That is, the Christians there in Berea, they sent him onward to Athens. But Silas and Timothy stayed there in Berea to speak the message of Christ. So they stayed there for a while, and then Paul on to Athens to speak his very famous speech in Athens at the Areopagus. And we do not hear about Silas until a bit later that he joined Paul in Corinth and spoke boldly in Corinth. And actually, in 2 Corinthians, it mentions the preaching of Silas in Corinth. So we give thanks for his role in that city as well.
We often remember Timothy and Titus as kind of figures, pastoral figures, as distinct from the apostolic figure of St. Paul or St. Peter. Could we include Silas there, that it is quite clear that he is a pastor under the apostleship of Paul, that he is one of the earliest preachers of the gospel in that official capacity along with St. Paul?
There's every indication of that. As mentioned, he is referred to as a prophet from the Jerusalem church in Acts 15. And here the word prophet emphasizes forthtelling, that is, faithful proclamation. interpretation of Holy Scripture, application of it to a certain setting. And also, in Thessalonians, I forget the exact reference right now, but there, Paul speaks about we apostles, and it seems that that would be from those who wrote the letter, Paul, Timothy, and Silas as well. So many scholars assume that in a wider meaning of the term apostle beyond the original 12, that Silas was included in that group of the wider appellation of apostles. So also, James and Jude are referred to as apostles as well, although not of the original 12. And also, from church tradition, it's said that Silas was the first bishop in Corinth as well, another indication of him having the holy office as well. And then he's said to have died in Macedonia nearby in the year 50. So we give thanks to God for the life and ministry of Silas.
Dr. Curtis Giese is Associate Professor of Theology at Concordia University, Texas. Dr. Giese, thank you very much for your time.
Pleasure to serve. Thank you so much.
When we come back on this Friday afternoon, February the 7th, we're going to get another update on Thrivent Financial for Lutherans' refusal to restore funding to pro-life organizations. It's been a long story lasting about 2 months. They have taken a position of neutrality. Is it neutral? And how much will it cost? Has it cost pro-life organizations? Pastor Michael Schuerman will be with us right after this.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.
More topics, more guests, more Jesus. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Trinity Lutheran, Brooklyn, New York. Hope Lutheran, Birmingham, Alabama. Our Savior Lutheran, Paradise, California. St. John Lutheran, Ray, Michigan. Peace with Christ Lutheran, Fort Collins, Colorado, Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran, Kimberling City, Missouri, the Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Salinas, California, St. John's Lutheran, Algoma, Wisconsin, and St. John's Lutheran, Colton, California. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org and click support. The Issues Etc. 300.